At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties. And they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
It is the Beating the Book podcast and what has become an annual tradition around here. Not only do we preview all the tennis slams, but we also do the de facto fifth tennis slam, Tennis Paradise. The, what is it, the BNP Paribas Open? Is that what they call it by sponsor? Is that what it is?
That's right.
Indian BNP Wells. Paribas. Indian Wells is what we'll call it. Really is spectacular. And that is the voice of Drew Dinsick. Drew Dinsick, who joins me for all of these, kind enough. And not only is he joining me for this one, he actually got off the ski slopes to do this one. I'm going to guess a bit prematurely. Thank you, Drew. How you doing, man?
You know, it wasn't too premature. Nowadays, they track you, you know, track you in skiing. And, you know, they keep a leaderboard of your vertical stats. And,
sure.
You know, so I was skiing pretty aggressively today. I got up to number 7. On the leaderboard, and then my legs basically gave up on me. So it was this was not preempting any part of my vacation. Don't worry.
I'm glad to hear that. Jackson Hole, for those wondering where Drew is skiing these days. So paparazzi now is going to attack you, Drew, up there.
Again.
I know it's a burden. We wanted to get Dan Weston on, but Dan had so much going on. He's going to be on a numbers game tomorrow morning, so Dan couldn't join us for the podcast. But for those who are tennis hards, I love your term for this. And sure. Thank you for having me on the whole DM chain. I'm more of a voyeur than I am a participant. it's an interesting crowd, believe me. For those who are wondering, okay, Indian Wells, it is hard courts, but there's specifically something about these hard courts that people should know, and that is
they're slow.
They're slow. They're about as slow as it gets. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Best I can set it up is the tennis season starts in Indian Wells. People think of, you know, the kickoff being the Australian Open just because that's sort of the beginning of the calendar. You get a long layoff around Christmas, New Year's, and then here we go, tennis season starts. But a lot of guys really aren't informed for that. A lot of guys really kind of coming off of long layoffs and or, you know, they played their way through the winter season and they're completely out of gas. This is more of the restart of the official season because, you know, this is a court that doesn't really lend itself into any single style of play. It's a little, it's pretty truly egalitarian in that, you know, whatever type of tennis you want to bring to the table, if you're a clay court specialist, if you kind of rely on your serve, you know, those two guys can go head to head and have a very even match, even though, you know, typically on a hard court, you would lean towards the guy with the serve. And so this is kind of a nice way to kind of gauge everybody's true strength, independent of court speed, even though we said it's the slowest of the hard courts that I track. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime you can take any kind of bite out of the serve and make it more of give some of the more crafty players an opportunity to create points, it makes for great tennis to watch. In general, it gives the Americans a little bit more of a an opportunity, particularly on the men's side. The American men tend to play a lot better here than they do at some of the European stops. You know, from here we go to Miami, which is similarly on the slower side of hard courts, but definitely faster than Indian Wells. And then we go right into clay court season. So, you know, you can kind of gauge how your season is going to go based on how well you play at this tournament, because it's a pretty neutral gauge of where you are with your progression as a player.
And not to name drop here, we had Brad Gilbert on the show this morning, former number four in the world, ESPN analyst now. Brad Gilbert does such a great job on those ESPN telecasts. He was saying as the tournament, it's an interesting court because as the tournament goes on, while it starts as a slower court, he, at least from his vantage point, he says it gets super fast towards the end as well. So I'm not sure if you've noticed that in what you've been tracking, but I thought that was an interesting comment.
That's interesting. I definitely have noticed distinctly different conditions if it's a day match and a night match.
Maybe that could have been what he was getting.
Okay.
At.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. Yeah. Because it's desert. You know, it's desert. You know, it's high desert in Palm Springs, Indian Wells area.
Oh yeah.
So you can have very different conditions in terms of you know, wind, weather, you know, moisture in the air. The type of balls they use are pretty neutral, but, you know, if the balls start to get beat up by towards the end of the tournament or towards the end of a ball change, then, you know, it definitely plays a little differently, but, yeah, you're not going to get by with one type of tennis is sort of the best way I can say it. Like, you need tricks in your bag, you need, you know, and, you know, all of the kind of breakouts that we've seen for certain players over the years, a lot of them have come here. You know, Alcaraz last year, given the business to Nadal in the semifinals, was, you know, that was a pretty clear I'm here moment, I thought.
Yep.
He didn't end up winning. But just the fact that he could go toe to toe with Nadal was pretty amazing. Nadal was, of course, on that win streak at the time. That was like a big coming out party for Taylor Fritz, too. Of course, anyone who's watched the Netflix series is intimately familiar with Taylor Fritz's championship at Indian Wells last year. Taylor Fritz is a different player in California than he is everywhere else by my numbers. I don't understand what it is about being in his home state that he plays at a higher level, but he loves it. Still no idea how he beat you know, Nadal last year. I remember going back to the Tennis Hardos chat, we were all basically like, this is free money on Nadal, but it's probably going to get canceled, so, you know, forget about it.
Well,
right,
because Fritz,
he was hurt.
Fritz had right. We saw it in Breakpoint, which, by the way, is a terrible title for that tennis doc on Netflix. Should point that out. Both the golf and the tennis have terrible, like, generic titles. But Fritz, like, something popped in his foot or something. He didn't even think he was going to go. And then wasn't it Nadal in match who barely made it to the end, if I recall correctly?
Yeah. He had some kind of abdominal tear that started there that eventually never got healed, even forced him out of Wimbledon, that same injury, I think.
Yeah.
And Fritz, after he beat Nadal in that final, he missed like 2 months, 3 months. We didn't see him again until grass season. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a taxing tournament. Last year and in some years randomly, wind is a huge factor. It can be pretty windy in the high desert month of March.
So. Have you ever gone to Indian Wells? Have you ever gone to the tournament?
No, it's always during ski season in March Madness, and so I never have been out there. But from what I've heard, it's a great fan experience.
I am sneaking in 2 days this weekend. Before March Madness. Yeah, I'm going Friday after the show, and I'm coming back Sunday before Selection Sunday. Can't wait. Taylor Fritz, as Drew is pointing out, the men's defending champion, Iga Swiatek, she won it last year as part of her 37-match win streak. She won that. She won in Miami. She won the Sunshine Double. Among the tournaments she won at that time, she won 8 total tournaments all year, so this was her time of year. But these two are not lined the same when it comes to the futures markets. Taylor Fritz is 22-1 on the men's side. Iga, the prohibitive favorite, not the prohibitive favorite, but she's the short shot by a mile on the women's side. She's used DraftKings number. She's +150. The next short shot is Aryna Sabalenka at 8-1. Everybody else is double digits. On the men's side, there is no Rafa Nadal because of injury. There is no Novak Djokovic because the United States still enforcing, and they really got the shaft here because this is gonna lift in May. We do not allow any non-United States citizen to come in the country if they are unvaccinated until May, when we will. But they did not make it's, I don't know. It's just ridiculous at this point.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
When we did the Australian Open, I think we basically hand waved the men's side because it wasn't really very interesting, the handicap.
Right. This is fantastic.
This is we could spend almost the whole time talking men's and hand wave the women's, as far as I'm concerned, because I don't really see a challenger for Iga here.
I don't either. I don't either, though. Let's talk about the draws for both, if we could, before we come to those conclusions. Because, by the way, how difficult was it to figure out when the draw was? It finally happened yesterday.
The sneak attack. I don't know why you wouldn't publicize when you're going to do this.
They did for like the 24 hours beforehand. It was very odd. It was 3 p.m. Pacific yesterday for both the men's and the women's. And usually you and I come on before any of these slams or before Indian Wells, and we're like, okay, this is the hardest quarter. This is the easiest quarter. On the men's side, I'm not sure I know which is the hardest, but I can damn well sure think I know. I damn well think I know which is the easiest, which I believe is Q3, which is where Daniil Medvedev is. And so the only caveat I would put into your, this is a much more interesting thing, is he did seem to get the best of it. He's the last man standing, obviously, none of the big three, Federer having retired. So he's, and Alcaraz is coming off an injury. We should point that out as well. He struggled to get through his match with your boy Scam Nori.
Yeah, he got beat by Scam, right?
Right, a couple weekends ago.
Rio final. Yeah.
That's right, on clay. So Alcaraz is in Q1 with Orkots, with Tommy Paul, who's been playing great, Felix Auger-Aliassime, Jack Draper, Andy Murray, who's always a tough out, Pablo Carreño Busta. Q2's got Fritz, he's got Borna Koric, Alex de Minaur, who just won a tournament, Yannick Sinner, Holger Rune, who's 20-1, it's a pretty interesting play, Ben Shelton, the young American. And Q4's got Rublev, Lehechka, Shapovalov, Berrettini, Scam Nori, Tiafo, Dimitrov, Tsitsipas. So I do think Q3, I do think Medvedev got the best of it. I'm not sure if you agree.
I do. Q3 is the weakest. Q4 is the second weakest. So that means you got an imbalanced draw.
Yeah.
Top half is good. Bottom half is weak, broadly. Medvedev is not a guy that I especially love in these conditions. He's not a guy who's ever really popped for me at this tournament. He's underwhelmed almost every time I've seen him play here. And he's susceptible to getting beat. I don't see an obvious uh-oh in his little section of the draw. He probably comes through to the quarterfinals in Q3. And at that point, maybe a Khachanov, maybe a Rude, gets the better of him at that point. But, he got it easy. They definitely have kind of paved the way for him to get to a semifinal here.
Medvedev for the quarter -140. Do you bet that right now?
Whoa.
Yeah, man. Just looking right now. DraftKings -140.
Credit to him for playing, you know, for kind of pulling it together after an underwhelming Australian Open.
Mm-hmm. Beat Djokovic. Most recent tournament.
Yeah. That was an impressive win. This is a huge amount of travel for him now, going from the Middle East here now all the way to California. He gets a couple of days to acclimate, surely. But I don't really have answers as to why his game doesn't translate to being as difficult to beat in these conditions as he is in fast hardcourt, for instance. And you know, Medvedev is a little bit of Djokovic light in terms of his skill set. He's going to take the teeth out of a really massive server because he's going to return things that you think are impossible to return. But there's really, there's no challenger that really jumps off the page here in his section or on his half. I think ultimately -140 is not a good, that's not a good bet, I don't think.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks,
Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Here are the respective favorites in each quarter. I'm just looking at these for the first time too. Alcaraz plus 150 in quarter one. Jannik Sinner 2-1 in quarter number two. Boy, Holger Rune really jumps off the page, doesn't he?
No question.
You and I are completely simpatico on this, and we did not talk about this beforehand. Third quarter is Medvedev minus 140. And the fourth quarter for the men's, Stefanos Tsitsipas plus 175. Let's just talk about the tournament in general. Like, Holger Rune to win the whole thing. And of course, for those scoring at home, we're talking about Holger Nadskov Vitas Rune. Or is it the other way around? Holger Vitas Nadskov Rune, I believe it is.
Correct. You got it. You got it right.
There you go. Yeah. For the whole tournament, Medvedev is 3-1. Alcaraz, probably because of the injuries, is 6-1. Stefanos Tsitsipas is plus 750. Jannik is 9-1. Always shop around. These are going to vary a little bit. And then it jumps from Sinner to Rune and Rublev, both at 20-1. As we mentioned, the defending champion Fritz is 22-1. Rune's got to be the bet, right?
I think so. And honestly, the draw through cold water on, you know, if we did this pre-draw, this would be a Rune love fest.
Yes, it would.
And we would be talking about how, you know, how this, I can't, we're not going to see these prices for the rest of the year, blah, blah, blah. Like that would kind of be the tone here.
Yeah. You already called your shot on him for the US Open, didn't you?
Yeah. I have some in pocket for US Open in the 20-1 range. I don't think those will be available at the time, but maybe they will.
That was your Babe Ruth where you pointed to the fence.
It was my Igor Świątek from Djokovic.
That's right.
It was like calling Iga in the month of January, that she's going to win the French Open.
That's right.
You know, as people have done, and then ultimately she wins in September. But regardless,
you heard about that. Year.
The Rune fourth round match against Jannik Sinner is like if you only watch one tennis match of this entire tournament, that's the one you should watch. Those are the two best young players, not named Carlos Alcaraz, who's already broken through and won a slam. And those guys are both playing really, really diabolical tennis this moment. The fact that Fritz and Demonauer, who are also, you know, viable competitors, are also in Q2, makes his path just, it's just,
I think that's the hardest.
Hellacious.
I think that's the hardest. Yeah, that's the best quarter.
Yeah, it is. It's hellacious. And then if you somehow emerge from the toughest quarter, then your treat is you probably get to play a fresh-ish Alcaraz.
Awesome.
So, I think, you know, we're on the same page, is that you know, Rune is the value guy you shoot for.
But the path is
aggressively tough.
Yeah.
I think all of the guys that I had eyes to bet all ended up on the top half. I think some surprise, maybe a Rublev-ish type of player who tends to play well at this tournament for whatever reason, is the guy that comes through from the bottom half and just gets, you know, mowed in the final, unless for whatever reason, whoever else comes from the top half of the final is just completely out of gas, which is possible. I'm excited to see Rune in these conditions. So he's got a couple of weapons that are rare. In terms of elite shot making, his best surfaces are slow hard and, you know, intermediate to fast clay, and that's basically exactly what you have here in terms of court speed. So this is sort of the ideal, you know, setup for him to pop. He's just got to beat Sinner, who's very, very tough out. And at that point, I think he rolls downhill from there. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we're on the same page. It's Rune or pass, and all the guys he's got to play to get there are going to be must-watch TV.
The most amazing, the most amazing thing about Rune to me is because we've seen Alcaraz and we've seen all these other, you know, greats, the gods, if you will, when they were young.
Sure.
But certainly of this group of young players, I don't know anyone who like faces break points on his own serve and is unfazed like Holger Rune is. It's just he's just playing any point, and it's amazing to watch how, yeah. I don't know if it's, some people might watch and be like, oh my God, he's so reckless. No, I just think he believes, he does not. He's like, nope, yeah. I'm getting through this.
Yeah, he's got a psycho mentality that ultimately is incredibly important to have that, because there are guys with a similar set of skills, similar high ceilings, like the Felix Auger-Aliassime, who you just know in the high leverage moments is gonna let you down. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty straightforward that Rune is the guy that you want to circle here. And I think you want to watch those matches. I think Alcaraz, I'm not especially concerned about, we were kind of joking about the loss to,
Cam Nori.
We were joking about the loss to Cam Nori, but Cam Nori he's an Iron Man. Alcaraz came off a long layoff, won Buenos Aires, turned right around, played Rio, loses a final in three sets to Cam Nori, who just basically outlasted him. Congratulations to Cam Nori for that. That didn't really change my rating on Alcaraz. Alcaraz is very, very live for this tournament as well. Mm-hmm. His section of the draw, super duper 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 weak. He comes through that. I mean, a Greek sport's playing fine tennis, but he's not going to beat Alcaraz in the third round. Dan Evans and Pablo Carreño Busta, boy, maybe one of the easiest fourth rounds of any, kind of, in fact, neither of those guys are probably going to get there. It's probably going to be Draper or something, or maybe even Andy Murray.
Dan Evans. Yeah. Dan Evans will let you down left and
oh
right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so Alcaraz's section is very, very, very soft. So he's probably going to the semifinals here. And no one in the bottom half of this quarter scares me in a head-to-head against Alcaraz, other than, if somehow, some way, Felix finds, a modicum of coolness.
Or if Andy Murray just, summons the gods again.
Yeah.
Tough out, right? Like, Alcaraz would beat him, right? So anybody who would face him, of that ilk ought to. But boy, that's a tough bet. It's a tough bet to live through.
Murray's got to play an extra round of tennis, which means an extra three matches, an extra three sets. He's going to be a tough out, but I think Alcaraz coming out of Q1 is a very, very safe bet, at which point, Alcaraz Rune is the dream semifinal. Alcaraz Sinner would be an incredible semifinal. Alcaraz Sinner in the, was that a quarterfinal of the US Open last year? Basically that determined the entire title.
Yes.
It was very, very, very close. So I wouldn't just assume Alcaraz beats Sinner if that's your semifinal there. This is the top half looks like destiny in terms of matching up some of these young guns. Alcaraz Felix as a quarterfinal in Q1, Rune Sinner as a quarterfinal in Q2, or as a fourth round matchup, and then maybe get Fritz versus the winner of that in the quarterfinal. But a lot of really, really good young guns in the top half of the draw.
Who's coming out of Q4? If Medvedev is coming out of Q3,
so. Tsitsipas, from everything we know, is not 100%. He's dealing with injury, and he's susceptible to getting popped by one of these guys. Tiafoe has never played especially well at this tournament, although he's always been very solid on American soil. He's going to be a tough fourth round match potentially for Tsitsipas. Cam Nori and Rublev likely run into each other in round four. I would favor Rublev to come through there. But it's a light lean, not a strong, this is very high likelihood. So
yeah. I was going to ask you how you feel about the guys who have been playing on clay and the transition to this, but you couldn't ask for a better transitional course, I guess. Than this surface.
That's kind of the and in fact, like, if you grilled a guy like Cam Nori, why did you go to South America? Because he at least played Buenos Aires in Rio. I think he might have played he played the run-up to Buenos Aires, I think, as well. He played a lot of tennis down there.
He has won way more matches than anybody else this calendar year in men's tennis. Like, he just keeps playing. Yeah.
He's like, it's fun to joke about him because his shot making is not elite. He doesn't really have any weapons that make him stand out of the crowd. His his best strength is that he has endurance and he doesn't quit and he's happy to go to a third set tiebreak. It makes him especially dangerous in best of five tennis because he can grind out, you know, five setters. But I don't think he, for whatever it's worth, he had the least impressive Masters championship of the last 25 years, winning Indian Wells in the fall, where he beat Nikolaj Basilashvili.
Yes.
His run through that tournament and his opponents faced were so poor.
I remember that.
He did it. So he's technically he is a past champion.
That's the one where Badosa beat Azarenka, the same tournament, I think. Also,
that was a
money grab for some of us. That was awesome. But yes,
yeah, Badosa was playing amazing tennis then. Yeah, yeah, she like that was a worthy title. Nori won it somehow and by default.
Yeah.
Somebody had to win, so he won. I think he ultimately gets beat by Rublev. I like the way Rublev plays here. He was a semifinalist last year, losing to Taylor Fritz. He kind of lost his head in that match. I thought he was the better player that day. He just kind of gave away some key points and key moments, which he does. That's a kind of a Rublev thing.
Lehechka the sneaky player here, or is this service too slow for him?
No, I think he's definitely sneaky.
Yeah.
There's lots of sneaky in Q4. Right. If one of these guys who's playing in first round ultimately takes this quarter, I don't think any of us should be surprised. Your guy, Bernabe Zapata Morales is playing some darn good tennis lately.
My guy. Yeah.
I don't know why, we're jumping way ahead here, but not exactly sure why he's a dog to Hugo Humbert, but that's fine.
Well, let's look at that. If you've gone through the quarters as you want to, some of these first round, I don't want to spoil your flow there.
You answered the original question, which is Q4 is wide open.
Somebody
can steal. Yeah.
Shapovalov. It's like, hey, if you're ever going to get to a semi, maybe this is it, dude. Jeez. This is like, I don't know. This guy he's just completely deflating every time you see him because you're like, this is going, and it never happens.
Tiafoe, no idea what to make of him as a player.
I don't either. Tiafoe, Dimitrov has had a good little start to the season as well, to some degree.
Yes.
Some of these first round matches, though. So I have not crunched these yet. I'm just staring at them for the first time. Are there 22 men's matches tomorrow? I hope they break this up a little bit.
No.
Yeah,
They split them 50-50.
Yeah. I'm just looking. So Mannarino and Dominic Thiem is a coin flip. That's the coin flippiest of the first round matchups, as is Quentin Halas and Michael Momo, who's been playing great early in the season. Yeah.
Guy who plays really well on American soil.
At a glance, I'm looking at these, and there's nothing that really... You said you like that... Would you say Humbert match?
The two guys that played really, really well on clay, and not really, really well, but just like
solid.
They took a step forward.
Yeah.
Right? Like you want a guy who's on the South American swing to take a step forward. Like the picture, if you've watched much tennis, like picture the opposite of Schwartzman, right? Who's regressing, aggressively regressing.
Yeah.
You have guys like Zapata Morales and Pedro Martinez, who I think both took decent steps forward, playing guys who are coming off of a lot of indoor hard court who have not been playing well. Hugo Humbert and Marc-Andre Huisler. And for whatever reason, the clay quarters are dogs in those two matches, and I like both of them. So Team Clay, Team Spain in round one for me on the top and the bottom.
Okay. I like it. Shall we talk women?
Let's do it.
Okay. Iga Swiatek plus 150. Arina Sabalenka 8-1 currently as I look at DraftKings. Let me see if I can... by the way, Bookmaker for some reason has their futures down on this tournament. I'm not sure why, quite frankly, right at the moment.
They don't like to take tennis futures for whatever reason.
They don't like to do a lot of stuff these days.
I don't know that they must not have a tennis trader. I don't know what's going on with them.
And there's also a lot of college basketball they don't like having up in game. It's a whole thing. Okay, so this is the women's side. Now, Iga mentioned plus 150, Arena Sabalenka 8-1. Now, Barbara Krejcikova, who has beaten both Sabalenka and Swiatek here in recent weeks. She's 11-1. She's playing great. Jessie Pegula is 12-1, but who did Jessie Pegula have in the first round? Oh, does she have Camila Giorgi? If Camila Giorgi might be a second round matchup with her, which is brutal. Elena Rybakina, 20-1, Corey Gauff, 20-1, and then Belinda Bencic leads the rest at 22-1. And if you look at the quarters, not the odds, but let's just break it down for a second, who's in what. So Swiatek's in Q1, she's got, I guess she'll face Peyton Stearns early, it looks like, from University of Texas, which is an interesting match. But also in her quarter, Bianca Andreescu, Beatrice Haddad-Maia, Ludmila Samsonova, Maddie Keys, Leila Fernandez, freaking Collins, and Caroline Garcia would be the highest seed beyond Swiatek.
Yeah.
Q2.
I don't mind Iga coming. I don't mind making a declarative Iga comes through that without dropping a set.
I think
that's pretty likely that she comes through at least to the semifinals. And no disrespect to Carol Garcia, who's taken her game to a level that I didn't know she had in the last calendar year.
Yeah, but you know what she does though? I was just talking about how Holger Rune, like if he's facing a break point on a serve. Caroline Garcia, if she has a break point or if she doesn't have a break point when she's returning serve, she only knows how to play one way. It's like, I'm going to be super aggressive. If you're on your second serve, I'm going to crowd the line and I'm going to try to pound this ball into oblivion. It's fascinating to watch. You can never adjust. Super frustrating to watch.
Yeah. The more tactically skilled players can get the better of her pretty regularly, I think. And honestly, like, yeah, she capitulates way too easily in the super high leverage matches too. So
Iga's minus 200 in that quarter, to your point. Minus 200. I'm looking at the quarter prices right now for the first time. This is interesting. So Q2, which I think is the easiest group, as Ann Shabour, I guess Marketa Vondrousova, Vika Azarenka, Elena Rybakina, Paula Badosa, Daria Kasatkina, but I'm kind of reaching. The short shot there is Rybakina plus 250, Shabour plus 450, and then Azarenka and Badosa 7-1, 8-1 respectively.
Yeah, who's who of players who are dealing with injuries.
Yeah, that's the easiest one. Now, Q3, good Lord. Sakkari, Fruvertova, who we've talked about, Kalinina Pliskova, Kudermetova, Kvitova, Ostapenko, Georgie, Pegula. That's a pretty stacked quarter right there. This one has Pegula at 2-1, Kudermetova 5-1, Sakkari plus 650, and then Ostapenko, the always enjoyable and lovable Elena Ostapenko.
Alana?
Gosh, she a pain in the butt. Plus 750. Interestingly, Camila Giorgi's 12-1, and Alicia Parks, who won an indoor tournament a few weeks back, is the only other, no, I guess her and Potapova are under 20-1, but that's interesting. Anyway, they're all in that quarter. So
one's wide open, wide open,
super wide open. Pegula, Kudermetova, Sakkari, Ostapenko, and then Q4. Q4 isn't maybe as deep, but it's got really big names at the top. Top Coco Gauff, Belinda Bencic, Barbora Krejcikova, Donna Vekic, who just won a tournament last week, and Arina Sabalenka. So Vekic maybe not like the other four, but wow, that's pretty strong with the favorite.
Yeah, no, Vekic is playing great.
Sabalenka's,
she really is. Yeah,
Sabalenka's plus 225. In this quarter, Krejcikova's plus 350, Bencic plus 550, Corey Gauff also plus 550, and then Vekic is 12-1. She's the next.
So. Yeah. I think Sabalenka is still in the I want to slam, I'm exhaling mode.
Do you? I hope you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of her in this one, really, at all, actually. I may be guilty of kind of trying to be too cute here, but Sabalenka lives in Miami. I think she is much more alive on that surface than she is here.
Interesting.
And the fact that Krejcikova is where she is in the draw and is going to be an early opponent, that's probably it. That's probably where she goes out. Krejcikova is better suited for these conditions than Sabalenka. And I think, it was a disappointing exit for Sabalenka in Dubai. I think a second disappointing exit, maybe she's, cracks her into a little bit of focus for Miami. Because after Miami, I mean, Sabalenka's not live really in any tournament until grass season. Yeah, so no. This is kind of like Miami is sort of like the only thing you can really circle if you're her and her team to get, to get one more kind of confidence building title before the later part of the season. So I'm passing on Sabalenka here. I think still too much exhale, too much, still. And by exhale, you see this a lot with like players who really struggle to get over the hump at the slam level. When they finally do, they underwhelm for 2, 3, 5, 10 tournaments just because the buildup to getting that slam was so difficult that you just can't bring that intensity again for a while. It takes, you got to recharge that battery. So Sabalenka for me, I'm circling her from Miami. And I think Krejcikova's probably coming out of the bottom half here.
Wow. And she's playing well. Yeah.
I didn't see it coming.
I didn't either at all. Remember, I mean,
I bet on her a couple times in Australia. I thought she could have won Q2 there, but,
let me tell you, she's
playing great tennis.
I have had a great month of tennis, like a great month. I did not. Yeah. I was not on the Krejcikova train at all.
No. Thankfully, it didn't do much damage when she beat Iga, but I think Iga exacts a little revenge here.
Do you?
It gets her in the final.
Let's talk about Iga for a second. So she has lost a couple finals, which is a new thing, newish, right? She crushed in almost every. She was not undefeated, but she had lost like one final in her whole career. Now she's lost a couple more. And she gets like, I don't know if you noticed this, like she gets a little red face. Like you could see it starting to affect her during those matches. So a little part of me is like, oh, I hope she can sort of get with the mental, with the, her sports psychologist and work on that. She's clearly the best player in the game, but I do worry now if this is like seeping in. You mentioned briefly, I'm okay, thinking Iga's not going to drop a set in her quarter. There is a prop, and I don't know that there is, I'm sure there will be one for the French Open. Maybe you've already bet it if it's available. I haven't seen it yet. But Iga not to drop a set is a live prop in all of these hard court or clay tournaments, especially the French Open. Slow hard courts for sure.
Would you?
What price would it take you to bet it here? Not to drop a set.
I really only worry about her in the final, honestly.
Me too.
And at that point, you're going to get plus money on whoever to win a set.
so you can just lock it in.
I think 4-1 is a bettable number.
What would you take in the French? Yeah.
Let's revisit this after the Indian Wells is over, and I will tell you what the rollover price was betting Iga 2-0 in every one of her matches, because I'm going
to
do it.
That's probably the way to go.
We'll figure out what the rollover price was, because she's going to take these women to town. So I get what you're saying about Iga kind of dropping a couple of big high leverage matches lately. She's been playing out of her comfort zone in terms of conditions for a little while, right? Like the last time she was on a court where it really suited her strengths was the US Open probably. And this is even more in her wheelhouse than the US Open in terms of court speed. Clay is like right around the corner, right on the horizon.
Right on the corner.
I think she's building up to being, one of like a dynastic type of clay run where, can she win every one of these tournaments she enters, which she did last year, obviously. She may even go for more. I don't know. But, definitely Rome, definitely Madrid. She's live in Madrid. Although that's going to be the toughest one for her. But
Italy is is the one she's won
Italy
twice.
Italy is kind of the sweet spot in terms of court, conditions for her game. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Roland Garros is the one that means the most because she's now kind of in the rare air where she's just chasing Grand Slam titles.
I have said, by the way, on the numbers game for many years now, I could actually say many years, which is ridiculous. Not many years, 3 years. I have called her. I said she's going to win double digit slams. People laughed at me. Come on, she's won.
What is that? What is that price if somebody hung in a market? over under 9.5 slams lined even money right now for her?
Yeah, I would think it's a slight favorite because the French is hers, right? She's like Rafa on clay. So she's going to win 6 or 7 or 8 of those, right? If she stays healthy, minimum. She's 20. Yeah. She's 21.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. She's won 12 tournaments already.
Yeah. Yeah. I think 9.5 is probably even money. Maybe you're getting a plus money price for over 9.5 right now just because she only has 3.
Yeah. Maybe so. Maybe so.
But no, I think
you're talk to me in May when she has 4.
It was a good bet. Yeah. Yeah. No, so this is kind of where we were going, which was like if she had found ways to win tournaments in conditions that were out of her comfort zone, then that's a bad sign for everyone else in the tour. Like, okay, well, like the day that we wake up and oh, she just won Australian Open,
right?
Like, all right, well, best of luck.
Like how about the day we wake up and we're like, yeah. Oh wow, she won Wimbledon, you know?
Yeah,
like,
right. Like, oh yeah, well, yeah,
yeah. Well, I've also said, and I've been mocked for this take, but I also said she'll be the greatest player of all time when all is said and done, which is huge hyperbole because Martina's been around, Steffi Graf, so you're really making a, you know, hyperbolic statement when you say that. But let's put it this way. She's on pace.
It's gonna be tough to prove it. Yeah, it's gonna be tough to prove it.
You can't prove it. You can't prove
it. The tour. Yeah. I think the tour right now is much deeper. The benches, yes, you know, the there were 2 or 3 women who could win any given slam through the Steffi Graf years. There were 3 or 4 than the Martina years. So this is a much deeper bench, you know, where you have a lot, you know, the talent is more spectacular and you have a lot of young up and coming players.
I agree.
So it's going to be, you're going to have a fight on your hands to make the case, but I think it's live.
Well, let's play it slam by slam. We got a long way to go. Yeah. There's no reason to call it now, but yes, I agree with you on all that. Okay. So you are going to play Iga 2 sets to love in every single match, at least until the final. You're guessing.
Yeah. We'll roll that over on the opening. I'll just bet the openers, roll it over, and we'll see what kind of price we get. I think it's probably going to come in better than 4-1. And I think that's the best way to play the women's side of this tournament.
Roll over Iga, 2 love, 2 sets to none in every match. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Let's look at before we go, and again, on the men's side, are you going to bet Rune, do you think, or does the draw prevent you from betting it?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I think you can probably roll him over and do better than, what did you say, 16-1 was this number?
No, 20 to 1.
21? Ooh, that's going to be close. I got to do some math on that to decide. Because again, like he's going to be, unless he looks untouchably good, which is possible. Like if he passes the eye test early before that round 4 match against Sinner, the rollover of Sinner, Fritz, Alcaraz, Medvedev, we'll say, like that stretch right there, that's 20-1, if not more. Because he's going to be a decent dog to Alcaraz. He'll be a small dog to Sinner.
What do you think the percentage of
maybe
people?
Maybe he's a decent dog to Medvedev.
What do you think the percentage of people, Drew? Because you're doing the mathematically correct thing. What do you think the percentage of people who actually do that is?
Because
most people just like, hey, 20-1, I'll take it.
Yeah, no, it's hard work. It's hard work. Yeah, right. It's hard work.
You got to be present.
There is a very, very, very. It's not comp. You don't have to do the math though. It's a very straightforward kind of mental model to tell you which way to go. And that is he going to have to do all the hard work himself, or is he going to be the beneficiary of chaos happening elsewhere in the bracket?
Right.
And for this draw, Rune has to do all of the hard work himself. Like, no, Alcaraz isn't crapping out to a chump in round two or three. Like, he's going to have to beat Alcaraz head to head. He's going to have to beat Sinner. His Q2 semi, you know, quarterfinal is going to be tough. He may have to, you know, and honestly, like, the best matchup of all of these would be if he gets the likes of, a Tsitsipas or a Medvedev in the finals. Like, he's rolling at that point. Like, the semifinal matchup against Alcaraz is much tougher. So basically, like, if you have an imbalanced draw in the men's half, this is the mental calculus. You don't need numbers even. You have an imbalanced draw in the men's half. If there is a player that you especially like to make noise and he's on the bottom, you take a future. Mm-hmm. If you have a player that you like on the top, you bet a match by match. Yeah,
it's the
and that's it.
It's the LeBron playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference theory.
Perfect corollary.
Yeah. Okay, we haven't gone to the women's first round matches. By the way, the most coin flippy blind women's tennis match, I'm laughing because it ought to be the most coin flippy matchup in any turn. Sophia Kennan and Sloane Stephens is so ridiculously coin flippy.
Head to head of how did these women win slams?
100%. I had Kennan in that slam too. I didn't have Sloane Stephens till the final in the 2017.
What do you make of how she's playing this year?
I mean, she left her, like, her dad is not her coach anymore, or he's back as her coach. I don't even know where it stands anymore. She finally got rid of him for a while, right? And I think it's still he's not really her coach, but yet when she looks to the stands, she's looking at her dad kind of thing.
Probably.
Yeah.
She's been inconsistent this year, but her level is way up from where it was last year.
That's for sure. Okay. Here's my question. Let's play
Sloane, not as much. Yeah.
Sloane's another one though. It's like when she's good, you know, you're we're getting good Sloane today, or we're getting terrible Sloane. Okay. As I just glance at these women's first round matches and the lines.
Yeah.
There is one, and I haven't looked at the dogs' numbers on hard courts recently, but just at a glance before I even look at those numbers. So it's not an official play yet but just sort of my instinct. There is one of these matches where I'm like, ooh, I could see myself playing the dog here. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
No, lay it on me.
Raducanu and Kovinic.
Oh, interesting.
Kovinic is plus 219. I'm gonna have to check that out. But I'm just saying, as I glance at that, I'm like, oh, I could see Emma crumbling.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's been her MO for a while.
But I'm saying Kovinic is one of those. She does not give up, so she could make life difficult. I'll have to look at Kovinic's numbers. I'm not going to say that's an official play yet, but
Kovinic it's been about a year at least since she really was like top, like kind of peaking, you know,
that like Charleston tournament where she played really well.
Right.
Yeah,
that sounds right. But Emma Raducanu being in the anywhere close to minus 200 is silly in today's,
she's minus 278.
It's nonsense. That's nonsense.
But again, I was just at a glance, that's the only one I look at and I'm like, wait, that doesn't seem right. But all the others seem about right. I'm sure I'll find one when I go into it. you know how that goes, where you're like, wait a minute, I didn't know this person's numbers were this.
Yeah, it's tougher for me to hit the women's side early in this one, just because you're not getting the same sort of, like, I love getting involved with the two angles that are my favorite for this tournament on the men's side, for sure, are the guys who are coming off of taking a meaningful step during the Golden Swing. That's the South American clay swing. Mm-hmm. That's the Zapata Morales. That's the Pedro Martinez in this case. You don't have that on the women's side. Like, we didn't see these women play on slower conditions. They've been playing on pretty fast stuff.
One of those guys that you're referring to, Tomas Martín Echeverri, sadly plays Andy Murray in the first round, which is brutal.
I was really excited to get involved with him in some way. Jiří Lečka is another guy who's been playing, you know, taking a meaningful step forward in the preseason here.
Who was that? Jiří Lečka, you said?
Yeah, Larry Ohechka. Yeah,
he's been ridiculous.
He's been great. But yeah, Etcheverry was, he would have been a fun one to play. He got a bad draw with Andy Murray in round one.
Nicolas Jarry not in this tournament? Is he not in the
draw? No, I think he played too much in Santiago, and so he had to qualify.
Yeah,
he didn't have enough ranking points to get in without qualifying, so he had to qualify, and I think he bailed on that because of the because he played a lot of tennis in Santiago.
He sure did.
On the other side of the coin, like Cerundolo, he's playing very poorly. Schwartzman, very poor. Like the guys who are coming off of poor performances in the Golden Swing, and oh, by the way, that kind of includes Dominic Thiem. Those guys were on fade alert for me.
Dominic Thiem seems like he won the Slam, and that was good enough for him.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations! Yeah. What a Grand Slam! it's very impressive. That wasn't the one that Djokovic got ousted for the ball.
Yes, it is. That's the one.
That was the one.
All
right. Well,
that's why it was Thiem and Zverev in the final. Yeah,
Masters season.
It was like they both knew that this is their chance to win one. Right, like that was their moment.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you know, Medvedev did it the hard way and beat Djokovic head to head.
That's right.
So, all right. Yeah. No, I think, of those kind of guys you mentioned, Zverev and Thiem had a moment. He looked like he was coming through something he was starting to put it together.
Right.
And then it kind of fell apart and then it really, really fell apart.
Yeah.
Zverev, on the other hand, does look like he is building back towards being a contender-ish again.
Because Rublev, I thought so too, and then Rublev beat him, which I was surprised by.
Yeah, that was a surprise. But it's still like his level of tennis is a heck of a lot better than the first couple of matches we saw him coming off that injury layoff. He looked lost, and now he's at least the speed of the game. He's the game is slowing down a little bit, it looks like. So he might have a fun couple of tournaments during the clay swing. Maybe he wins Munich or something.
Do you put your plays out, Drew, anywhere that people can find them?
If people are asking for stuff, I'll tweet them.
Okay.
But, it's as liquid as the market is. It's hard to get people the same price that we play on these.
Don't I know? So you know how many mornings I come in here? I'm like, well, it's gotten away.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And so, I work with a couple of partners, and so I don't always know when we're getting down, what we're getting down. And so usually by the time I'm kind of paying attention or able to tweet what we're on, it's, the price is usually cooked. And at that point I feel bad being like, if you feel like past posting, if you're like, well, I bet this at +160, you can have it at +125 if you want. Like, it's not a great feeling.
I have access to many, many a tennis out. So I'm always getting, not always. Sometimes it goes against me, right? Sometimes I'm, when I'm like, hey, you can get a much better number than I got. Typically at a tournament like this, it often will get away, but we'll see.
That might not be the case. The tennis market is super, super different for these tournaments than it will be for a slam.
100%.
There are less informed participants in the slam markets, in my opinion. And sometimes it's not even less informed. It's just people who, because liquidity is big for trading in game, for those slam head, matches in rounds 1, 2, 3, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can get decent liquidity in match. And so a lot of times, sometimes the number moves, but it's just people setting up, a trading position more so than actually, kind of using a number. So it makes it more complicated, but whatever. Yeah.
I do not set up trade positions. I do not do that with my tennis bets. I will tell you that. Drew, I appreciate it, man. Took you off the slopes for this. I know you said it was your full day of skiing, but still I can't thank you enough, man. You're a trooper for doing this. Thank you.
Oh, all good, man. Absolutely. And this is an important tournament.
Yes.
Got to pay attention. If you're going to bet tennis the rest of this, if you're going to bet tennis between now and the U.S. Open, you need to pay attention to this tournament.
That should be the
I've learned that. Yeah. Yeah. I've learned that the hard way.
You've learned that. Yeah. By the way, my one pet peeve also is like, Indian Wells is such this awesome, beautiful scenery. The other part of the Sunshine Swing used to be that way. right?
Yes, Biscayne Bay.
Key Biscayne was the greatest place for a tournament ever. And then, I heard some story. There's like some dude who controls all of this in Miami. And so now it's like by the highway outside of the football stadium in the middle of town. Like, who wants to go to that?
No. Have you been to the Hard Rock? It's like it's in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
It's brutal. And no more iguanas. When there was at Key Biscayne, you had like iguanas running around on the
phenomenal.
Court.
Phenomenal.
You're absolutely right. The scenery of the sun setting over with the view from that location was unbelievable, and it's a shame they took that away.
It's sad that they took it away from there. That's my love letter to South Florida, by the way, is what that is.
Yeah.
I love Key Biscayne. Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.